At Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter number 2. And we'll be learning about the very beginning of the life of the Bible character Moses. Moses, named by Pharaoh's daughter, and we'll see that as we read it. Moses is mentioned 813 times in the Bible. 813 times Moses' name is found in the Word of God. He is the seventh from Abraham, and Abraham was the seventh from Eber. That's where you get the name Hebrew, from Eber. And Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Just a little interesting numerology there. God likes those sevens. The Bible says in Exodus 2, let's read it, verse number 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. All right, now if you recall from our first two lessons, the law in the land of Egypt, at the time that this baby is born, the law is that any Egyptian who sees a male Hebrew baby is authorized by the government, in fact commanded by King Pharaoh, to kill that baby. It's a horrible thing. And so the scripture says, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, that's normal, right? The baby grows and gets louder and louder, harder to keep him from crying. When she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. Okay, just like that large ark that Noah built for the preservation of the race. Now we're seeing a small ark being built for the preservation of one little tiny baby. So she pitched it within and without with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it, the baby in the ark, she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now keep in mind, it always makes for an added level of excitement in the children's storybooks if Moses goes floating down the river in this little basket of a boat, and he's just, you know, going left and right, he's being jostled about and hitting the rocks and being swept along by the currents. And then Miriam is running along from tree to tree, you know, running down by the riverside, and she's hiding and she's watching. That's all pretty thrilling. Problem is, it did not happen. That didn't happen. That's not in the Bible. You say, well, I saw a movie one time. Well, we've all seen movies at one time or another, but the Bible says that the mother of Moses, unnamed as yet, she hasn't been named yet, both of them, Moses and the mother, even Moses, his name hasn't been brought up yet, but you know his mother's name, don't you? Anybody got a good guess? Or actually know it? All right, I'll let you think about it. I'll let you think about it. Okay. Anyway, she placed the basket in bulrushes, in the flags. That's a long, straight reed bent over at the top so that it looks like a flag upon a pole. And she placed the ark carefully. She placed it there carefully, laid it there by the river's brink. It's not out there floating in the river. It's over by the river's edge. Okay, it's not going anywhere. And these reeds are surrounding it, holding it in place, so the baby's safe there. And the basket It is on the water. It's floating. That's why it was pitched, so that it would be waterproof. And the baby is on the inside. Verse 4, and his sister. Okay, that would be Miriam. She's already born. She was Moses' older sister, obviously. His brother Aaron was also older than Moses. And that's according to Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 7, where we're told that he was 3 years older than Moses. Okay? Did you remember the name of Moses' mother yet and father? You find them in Numbers chapter 26, verse 59. And the Bible tells us there that his mother's name was Jochebed and his father's name was Amram. Amram and Jochebed. And so here's the sister. She's watching. And the Bible says that she stood. She stood afar off. She's not running. She's standing. To wit, that means to know, to learn, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. All right. Now this was done, this hiding of the child and the protecting of the child was done by the parents of Moses as an act of faith. An act of faith. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. However, we're not certain what God told them. We're not certain if God told them anything directly, or if they just based their act of faith upon the past revelation of himself by God to man. But here's what we do know. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That sounds kind of strange, kind of curious, doesn't it? Because if you're not afraid of the king's commandment, why are you hiding the baby? Right? That's, people wonder that. But let me try to help you with this. Yes, they do have a fear that the king will kill their baby. There's no reason not to believe that he won't. Okay? And they do have a fear that either the king's going to kill her, or somebody representing the king will kill their baby. They know that's something that could very well happen. It probably would. But they personally, what this is saying to us, that they were not afraid of the king's commandment, what that's telling us is that they personally are not afraid to suffer themselves. They're not afraid to suffer whatever consequences may happen to them if they are found attempting to save the baby. Okay, that's what that's talking about. This reminds us of the verse that we mentioned in connection with the Hebrew midwives. We ought to fear God rather than man. And there's all different kinds of fear and different levels of fear and reasons to be afraid of and people to be afraid of. But they chose, his parents chose, to act upon the fear that their child could at any moment be put to death by an Egyptian, by any Egyptian. They were afraid that might come to pass. In fact, they were right to expect it, so they acted accordingly. They did something about it. But no, they were not afraid. You know, if somebody would have said, well, don't you know what Pharaoh, king of Egypt, could do to you if he found out that you were hiding this baby boy? They weren't afraid to face those kinds of consequences. So if they did this as an act of faith, their belief is that God would rather they spare the life of this baby boy at the risk of their own lives than to allow this baby to be killed by a wicked and evil governmental decree. And so the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Now I believe in God. I believe in a God that is greater than man. I believe in a God that's greater than circumstances, any circumstances. I believe in a God who steps in to human history anytime he sees fit and alters it according to his will. I believe in a God who has the power in his hand of life and of death. I believe in a God who's greater than kings and greater than governors and greater than princes and greater than popes and greater than dictators. I believe in a God who, when he sees fit, he can turn anyone's steps to the right hand or to the left hand. But what I can't tell you for certain is how much involvement God has in the minute day-to-day affairs of each and every individual life. I don't know. I don't know. Some people, they claim to know. I'm not going to make that claim. I do know what the Bible says. I do know that he is aware, according to the scriptures, he's aware of the number of each hair on the head. That's what Jesus said. I know that he's aware when any sparrow falls. Okay. I know that he's aware of all of our needs, according to the Bible. I know that he hears our prayers. So I know some things. Yeah, if a tree limb falls from a tree and lands on my car and makes a big dent in my car, I'm not going to say, well, God ordained that. God sawed off the branch and he made it fall on my car. I won't say that. I do know this. Whenever God chooses, God can step on the scene, and he can alter the course of history. And I'm watching him do that right here in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 5. God's doing this. Anybody could have come down to that river, or nobody could have come down to that river. That baby, it could have been found by a man who cared nothing for that child. It could have been found by a man who would actually be glad to kill that baby so he could claim the bragging rights or get a reward for that came from killing the baby. I know that baby could have laid there in that basket until a crocodile came along and ate it up, or until the basket started leaking and sank and drowned the baby, or until Miriam just got tired of watching and went and grabbed the baby and took it back home. But God sent Pharaoh's daughter at the very time to the very spot to wash in that very river where that very baby lie in that very basket. That's God. You say, well, no, that's just chance. That's just circumstance. It's just accident. It's luck. They had good luck. Well, you call it what you want. But when I look at this, I see the hand of God at work. The Bible says, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she, Pharaoh's daughter, when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. It's just, you know, hey, what's that? Look at that basket. Wonder what that is. Quick, go get it for me. And out into the water goes this young woman, carries the basket to Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. Isn't that interesting that that baby wasn't crying, it wasn't making a sound until she opened it up? You know, now the indication is that this child is not crying for its mother. It's not crying out of fear. It's just lying there quietly, calmly, peacefully in that basket on the water. But when the top is taken off that basket and Pharaoh's daughter looks down into the face of that baby, the baby just scrunches up its face, you know, and his eyeballs start leaking, fills up those lungs and starts to cut loose with wailing and cries. And then the heart of that woman just melts. And you know what? I'm sorry for you if you have bought into one of the modern delusions, one of the great lies of our day, that men and women are the same. I'm sorry if you believe that. But a woman who's the same as a man, she needs to repent and then get some remedial training. A man who's the same as a woman needs to repent and get some indoctrination. Men and women are not the same. And so I doubt there are many men in Egypt who would have opened that basket and seen that baby and reacted and been moved with compassion in the same way that Pharaoh's daughter reacted and was moved. The Bible says she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Meaning what? Meaning she knows. First of all, she knows what her father once done with this child. She knows what any man in her father's army would do in a moment to that baby boy. She's not stupid. She's not unaware of the situation. She is just looking into the face of a little one with a death sentence upon his tiny little head, simply because of his nationality. She knows the threat that the Hebrew nation poses to Pharaoh, to Pharaoh's kingdom, but she had compassion on him. Only eternity will reveal how many times God wrought a supernatural miracle in our lives that we didn't even recognize. Only when we get to heaven, and I'm not even sure if even then, but surely not in this life will you ever know. You'll never know in this life how many times God stepped in and did something on your behalf, did something that had to be done in the only way that it could be done to bring about your good and the good of your family and the good of your nation. I tell you, it's an amazing thing. Not only did a woman find this baby and not a man, but she might have been the only woman who could have gotten away with sparing the life of that Hebrew baby. The only one whose actions could have gone unchallenged would have been the very daughter of Pharaoh himself. She's got some authority herself. And so that's the one God chose, Pharaoh's daughter. So who finds this baby? The very daughter of Pharaoh himself. You say, well, wow, what a stroke of luck. You're wrong. You're wrong. It is God at work in the affairs of man. He's got a plan for this boy. He's got a purpose for his life. The children of Israel, they have grown to the point where it's just about time for God to deliver them from bondage, and God's choosing a deliverer. He selects Moses. He's going to put him in the right place at the right time, give him the right training and the right opportunity, give him the right power, the right grace. He is going to use Moses to free the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so where does he find himself? In the very arms of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, so Miriam steps in, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Now, like I said, I don't think Pharaoh's daughter is stupid. Obviously, she doesn't have a baby of her own, or she could have nursed the child herself. But it also it's also obvious to Pharaoh's daughter, I think it is, that this girl didn't just show up out of nowhere. You know, poof, here I am. You know, she has, if Pharaoh's daughter has an ounce of discernment, or half a brain, she doesn't have to be a private investigator. She doesn't have to be some kind of a detective. This girl is obviously someone who knows where this baby comes from. Pharaoh's daughter, she's sure to suspect that, don't you think? But she's a woman. She's a compassionate woman. She doesn't care. Doesn't bother her. See, the mothering instinct in a woman rises to the top, and these two girls, I say girls because we don't know how old Pharaoh's daughter was. We don't know how old Miriam was. But we know this, they both agree this precious little baby should not be killed. Verse 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, the woman being Moses' own mother. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Not only has the life of Moses been spared, not only has Moses found compassion and favor with Pharaoh's daughter, not only is Moses going to be nursed by his very own mother, who risked her life to save his life, but Pharaoh is going to pay Moses' mother to raise her own child. Is that not God? What a miracle. What a miracle. You'd have to be blind not to see it. This is the glorious, mighty, wonderful working of God. The very man who one day will bring down Pharaoh's wicked kingdom. Moses, the very man who one day will break the power of this man who enslaves other human beings. This man Moses who, Pharaoh who breathes out death and slaughter and cruelty for his own personal gain. Can't you see the hand of God as we watch the man who will break the power of this wicked ruler being raised by the financial support and the monetary gifts that come from the hand of Pharaoh himself on behalf of his own daughter? So here comes the money from Pharaoh to the parents of Moses for the upbringing of Moses, who will then be placed into the hands of Pharaoh's daughter, where he will be raised and trained in the courts of Egypt, and where one day he'll stand on behalf of God and break the power of this idolatrous, pagan, unholy people. What a Lord we serve. What a God. And so the Bible says in verse number 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Now, if you would ask Pharaoh's daughter, who is this child? She would have said, it's my son. If her maids or the attendants in her court asked, who's this child? She would have said, it's my son. Now, of course, we know that biologically, he was not her son, biologically, Maybe there was a legal adoption or transaction. Bible doesn't say. We don't know. But here's what I want you to consider. From Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. Hebrews 11:24. Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What do you think about that? In his young heart, Moses never thought of himself as an Egyptian. While he was growing up as a boy, Moses never thought of himself as being part of a people who prayed to statues and idols, who served and worshipped many deities, who believed in rock gods and tree gods and cow gods and river gods and snake gods and horse gods and dog gods. No, not Moses. No. Moses refused in his heart to acknowledge Pharaoh's daughter as his mother. Praise God. It's very difficult for me as an American to address people living in parts of this world where liberty and freedom are little known or unknown completely. So I don't want to speak about their suffering or their circumstances, people like that, because I'd only prove that I don't know anything about it. about those hardships, about those difficulties that are faced by people in other places on a daily basis. But I want you to understand something. This man and this woman, Moses' father and mother, saw their child taken into the arms of a pagan government family member's household. And while they prayed from afar and most likely never saw their child again, God heard and answered their prayers. That boy was shown the idols and the images. He was taught the false religion and the false ways. He was taught how to bow down to this and burn incense to that. He was taught their philosophy. He was taught their psychology. He was taught their culture. And yet, his heart never strayed from God. I can't imagine what it must be like to have a child taken from you by an evil and unjust monarch, dictator, or government system. But I know this. I know this from the book of Daniel. I know this from the book of Esther. I know this from the book of Exodus. I know this from the Holy Bible. God knows exactly where your precious child is at all times. And there is a lasting and abiding truth. And if that child chooses to embrace that truth, then training in the very palace of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, can't rob that child of his faith in the true and the living God. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She called him her son, but he never thought for one minute that he belonged to Pharaoh's household. And then finally, the Bible says, and she called his name Moses. She called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. So that tells you what the name Moses means. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for showing us, or reminding us that you are there, for reminding us, Lord, that you have most likely stepped into our lives and spared us from some terrible tragedies, probably more than once. We don't know. We probably don't even acknowledge most of the time. help us, Lord, in our lives not to give credit to chance or good luck and things like that. Help us to always consider, Lord, that whenever we feel blessed, that blessing came from God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.